Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
.720 WGN, Ken Smith with you until 10 p.m. Vic Vaughn, still with us. He's got a brand new podcast called Album University, where he talks about music that he's just learning about for the first time now that he's in his mid-40s and just hearing this music for the first time and telling you all about it. Joining us in studio now, he is going to be at Zany's all weekend, the original Zany's, Zany's on Wells, a great room. A lot of history in that room. Calvin Evans joins us here on 720 WGN. Thanks for coming in, Calvin. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm good. I'm great.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You're a Chicago guy, huh?
I am.
Where are you from in Chicago? Whereabouts?
I grew up in Logan Square.
Oh, really?
North side, northwest side.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yeah, different place now.
Than when you were there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit?
A lot bit.
A lot bit.
Changed a lot bit. A lot of bars, breweries.
And a lot of bars and a lot of micro or whatever, brew pub, whatever they're called. Brew pubs.
A lot of IPAs floating around.
A lot of IPAs floating around, man. You got that right. A lot of guys with beards, you know, rubber bands in their beard and stuff that. Yeah.
A lot of, what's the ponytails? The man bun? The man bun.
Man bun.
Yeah.
A lot of man buns in Logan
Square.
Man
buns and cyclists.
Yeah. You got that right.
It's a great neighborhood.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Lakeview High School.
Okay.
Lakeview High School. What's that? Urban Park in Ashland.
Okay.
Very small school.
All right.
Yeah.
What made you decide to get into comedy?
So I was in college at the University of Illinois. Guy knew.
In Champaign?
Champaign, yeah.
Okay.
Guy knew, said, hey, man, you funny. You want to do some stand-up on a variety show? I said, yeah, I'll try it out. And I tried it out, and I fell in love with it.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you have any influences? Who did you? I'm assuming like Eddie Murphy and
it was weird. Like I consumed a lot of stand up as a kid. It was so much like stand up on TV at the time.
You know, so you were a big fan of stand up.
I was a fan of stand up,
like HBO, like you'd watch like the HBO specials and
any and everything,
whatever, okay.
Any and everything. But I didn't realize how much of a fan I was. And then he asked me, and I was always funny amongst friends, but I never had any aspirations of being a comedian. And then I stepped on stage, and it was like this came naturally. And
what were you going to college for?
What was
the major?
I got a degree in sport management.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. So, who were some of your influences? You say you were a fan of stand-up.
Fan of stand-up. The first person I ever watched was Eddie Murphy Raw, Delirious.
Sure.
So, it was like watching that as a kid, like just repeating it to other kids at school that never heard it. And I got them laughing. And I'm like, man, you know, so Eddie Murphy was like, you know, the actor, the comedian. I won't call him much of a singer, but he sang.
I heard Party All the Time the other day. They still play it.
It's an okay song.
It's an okay song. Vic, you won't be, if you don't end up hearing Eddie Murphy Party All the Time, you won't be missing anything.
I'm an Eddie Murphy fan, so I have heard it.
Oh, you have heard it. Okay. Yeah. And I was just thinking about Eddie Murphy. Oh, there you go. I was thinking about Eddie Murphy the other day. Have you seen the Dolomite movie on on Netflix? And it's even funnier if you watch the original Dolomite.
Okay, I've never seen the original Dolomite.
Okay, the original Dolomite, I want to say, is on Amazon, mm-hmm. on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Watch the original Dolomite.
I'm familiar. My father,
and then
huge fan.
Eddie Murphy has a movie out now called Dolomite Is My Name. Dolomite is a Rudy Ray Moore, black comedian from the 70s. Watch the original Dolomite and then watch the movie,
okay.
And you will. And it's even funnier.
Is it spot?
Because it's spot on.
Okay, man, I got
it. It's spot on. It's hilarious.
Definitely got to check it out.
But I was thinking about Eddie Murphy the other day, and I'm going, ice cream. That's a thing. Someone goes, ice cream, you know exactly what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What's another thing from one of his specials? I'm blanking out on it, but
my shoe,
right? Yeah, all these little sayings that he had, all these little bits that he had, and it's like, well, that's a thing. People, mm-hmm. I mean, have grown up. A generation has grown up. And everybody knows what ice cream means, and ice cream man is coming, and you know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Eddie Murphy, any other influences?
Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac, Chicago guy.
Oh, yeah.
Southside.
Great
guy. I wish I had the opportunity to meet him. He passed away, I want to say like in 2005. I was still in college at the time. But he was one of those guys where you watch somebody that the industry didn't exactly want become something that they needed. And then we lost him and we didn't get the experience, like the full impact that he could have had.
And the thing about Bernie Mac is he did it his way.
Absolutely.
He never changed from being Bernie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to meet him several times, and a great loss. But the fact that he was starting to get that mass appeal.
Yeah.
But still he never changed is great. If you go back and watch like the Bernie Mac show, mm-hmm. that was on Fox, it's even better now than it was when it was on.
And I was in college at the time, the show came on. I started watching it like a few years ago, and then when I watched every episode, like, and it ended, I felt like I was like, oh man, I'm lost. What now?
Right,
like,
yeah.
This should still be going on. This is a great show.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're a jack of all trades, huh? You're a bit of a Renaissance man. You do it all?
A little bit of everything. I try to.
Tell me about it.
I've been out in L.A. So just acting, auditioning, acting, trying to get more acting roles and television roles. So
musically inclined as well.
A little bit. It's something I picked up on my own. Like I always wanted to learn how to play the piano, so I taught myself.
And, really?
Yeah.
I wish I had. My mother said you're gonna wish you kept up on those lessons. Gonna wish you kept up on those lessons.
That's a conversation starter. if you run out of words, it's a piano around. People just gather around.
That's right, and also probably the ladies love it too, right?
Oh yeah,
you
absolutely.
You can sit down and and play a few bars.
Yeah, you play just two recognizable songs and then you walk off. You just walk away. All right, everybody, I'm out of here.
Right, exactly.
Oh, he should have stayed.
Right,
he's so interesting.
Calvin Evans is our guest. He is at Zany's, the Zany's in Chicago on Wells Street. Show tomorrow? Two shows tomorrow,
three Saturday and one Sunday.
Oh, they're working you, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever played there before?
I have, yeah. I started headlining there maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
But I was like featuring and hosting. Like I worked my way up through Zany's. So
it's a great room. Small, intimate room.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone has played that room.
It's
funny when you go there, you go to Zany's, and you know, while you're waiting for the people to come on, and you just start looking at the pictures on the wall.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, he was here, and he's, oh my goodness. It's like, oh, remember him and remember her, and it's incredible.
Man, I love that club.
Is the smoke shop still there?
Yeah, next door.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there.
Okay, good, because I have a gift certificate for them.
Oh. do you smoke cigars?
Not as much as I used to, but you know, if I ever every now and then I'll have some brown liquor and a cigar.
Okay, yeah. Stop by this weekend. Get you a cigar and catch a show.
Oh, there we go. Absolutely, absolutely. So, sports management. You went to college for.
Yes, you
are. So you wanted to? Do you want to be an agent?
You know what? At the time when I went to college, I wanted to be like. I just wanted to do something in business, like marketing. Like I want to be a marketing major, but my GPA wasn't good enough to get into the business college. Ended up in the recreation, sport, and tourism college.
Okay.
And I fell into sport management. It was like it had a lot of business aspects to it. So it was like it was business, it was management, like and also like event planning. So it was like a lot of different things that I was interested in.
Okay.
And then when I started doing comedy, it was just like I really want to do comedy, but I'm at this point a junior and I'm like I can't drop out of school to do comedy.
It doesn't make sense.
Know, I'm already invested in it.
Sure.
So it was like, you know, finish school and I got a job after college, and then it was just kind of killing me, like, because I really wanted to be doing comedy. And I was like, I just quit my job and came back home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who have you met that you've been in awe of along the way?
Only person I've ever been in awe in my life, not comedy related, was Michael Jordan.
Okay.
When his son was down at U of I, I had an opportunity to meet him at a game, and I my hand was shaking. Like, well, I that was,
I mean, duh, yeah.
Yeah. But in comedy, I've met Dave Chappelle. That was cool. I met Kevin Hart. I was on his show.
I saw Dave Chappelle at Zany's.
Really?
At Wells Street. Yeah.
How long ago and how was it?
This would have been about 2005 or 2006. It was after he stopped doing Chappelle's show.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked a lot about being free. He was like, I'm free. But they don't understand. They think I'm crazy. And they're just like, but I'm free. He talked a lot about that. And it was just a small, I remember he did a whole bit on the TV show Cheaters. Remember Cheaters?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how long ago this was.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I was lucky enough to see Chappelle at that small venue.
Yeah.
In that small room. So you've met Chappelle, you've met
Kevin Hart. I'm drawing blanks now.
What kind of advice do they give you?
Well, Kevin Hart, I did his show on Comedy Central. He does a show, Heart of the City, where he goes around the country and he kind of showcases about a bunch of unknown talent.
Okay.
So I did this in 2016. We didn't really get to talk to him like one-on-one outside of like us filming.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he was just like, just him being there and like seeing the work and the production and stuff that he was doing. It was just inspiring to see somebody do that much work. And then we filmed the entire episode in one day. And then he was on a plane that night to the next city.
Yeah. I mean, he's.
Yeah. So it was like seeing that. Was like, yo, that's the level of work you got.
So that work ethic is kind of what stuck with you.
Absolutely.
As far as Kevin Hart is concerned.
Yeah.
Kevin Evans is our guest. He's going to be at Zany's Friday, Saturday. A show on Sunday, did you say?
Sunday. One show Sunday.
And one show on Sunday. The Zany's on Wells Street. Vic Vaughn still here in studio with us. He's got a brand new podcast called Album University. I'm Ken Smith. We'll be back with both of them in just a second. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Ken Smith with you till the top of the hour. Calvin Evans is with us. He's at Zany's all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Zany's on Wells Street. I guess Zany's.com for tickets. Go to their website. And you've been doing comedy for how long?
I say 9 years.
Okay.
But I started before that, but I didn't officially start doing comedy until I came back to Chicago.
You won a contest, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I was named, I won, it was a contest they had in 2010. It's like online votes. You submit a video, online votes. It was called WGN Chicago's Next Big Comic.
Okay.
And that was the first time Pat Tomasulo did comedy, and Anna, I'm going to mess her last name, it was like Anna
Belleval.
Yes. So yes. They did comedy, and that was the first time Pat, and they performed that night at the like the top four of us, and then we performed in front of an audience, and then they voted, and I won.
And how'd that feel?
It was gratifying because I had just moved back to Chicago to pursue comedy, and that was the first thing that I did. So I moved back.
Oh,
in
wow.
August,
so that's
moved
great.
Back in August and won a competition like in like October, November.
So it validated your decision.
It was like, I've arrived. I'm here.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you, WGN.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pat might be, well, I don't know if Pat has to work tomorrow, then he's probably not listening right now. But so tell me about those early years. What kind of, I can't remember what I had for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I always find it fascinating that, you know, comedians can go up there and do an entire, whether or not it's 5 minutes or it's an hour and a half, and they've crafted everything in their mind and they remember everything. Is that something that's always come easy to you? You say you've joined some acting too, so you probably have a fairly decent memory.
Well, comedy came first, but yeah, and with comedy, it's when they call it a routine because it's like you do it so much. Well, it's in your bone. You can be writing something else, but saying the words because it's
right.
It's rehearsed. Like you do it so much, you constantly refining and you know figuring out what works and what doesn't work. So it takes time to really get up like a routine to that is polished. And once it gets to that point, then it's just like I know what I'm going to say.
So do you polish your routine at the clubs, or do you try and hone it somewhere else before you take it to a club?
Anytime I get on stage, if I got a new bit that I want to work out, I don't write anything down. So if I have a new joke that I've thought of in my head, I get on stage, I say it. What works, I keep what doesn't work, I get rid of. And as I'm performing it over and over and over again, I'm constantly adding and adjusting things until it becomes like a full bit.
Do you take it personally when something doesn't hit?
No, not at all.
Especially if you think that this is a really good joke. I don't understand why it's not going over.
No, it happened last night. I was at Zany's Rosemont, and I did this.
Well, that's a beautiful room. That thing's huge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It was made for comedy. I did this bit on Die Hard sports fans,
mm-hmm.
and it just didn't hit. And I had did it before and it hit, and then I did it last night and I knew why I messed up. But it just kind of became like a point. It was just like, okay, we get it. But it wasn't like a, ha-ha, that's funny.
Okay.
But I didn't take it. It was a point. I mean, I was like, y'all, that's not, no. And they was just like, we get it. And I was like, okay, I'll just move on.
If the material, so how much of it is the material?
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is you delivering the material? How much of it is the audience? If the audience is, if it's a bad audience, then does it matter what you do, or do you consider it your job to try and to be able to make that audience laugh no matter what kind of mood they're in?
The audience, the blame is placed on the audience less. Like I would never do it. It's certain times you get put in a situation, or the show isn't set up right. It isn't the right place. You at a bar. It's like it's a lot of factors that go into blaming the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I never go to the audience first. I always look at myself like, what could I have done? And then it's sometimes where it's like, I know that joke is funny because I do it all the time.
Right.
And y'all not laughing, then okay, that's fine. But We'll keep moving on, but I never turn on the audience like, you guys suck. You know, it's just like we'll find some common ground. So I'm gonna keep talking.
Right, right. We'll make it work.
Yeah.
What are some of the more unusual places you've done comedy?
Oh man, I've done comedy in people's backyards. People like, hey, I got a birthday party. Starting out, man, you'll take anything. I've been in
sure.
I've been in basements. People like get-togethers at basements. Like, hey, we're doing a Thanksgiving. We need somebody. We want to do a comedian. You know, and it's just like, I'll do it. And I think, like, in those shows, I appreciate more because you really figure out who you are and, like, how strong your comedy, and it gives you personality where you could just walk into somebody's house, be standing in their living room delivering jokes in a non-traditional comedy setting, and you're like, man, I can do this.
Who's the best audience?
Who's the best audience? What do you mean? What specifically?
Specifically, what makes the best? Are men, women, blacks, whites, Hispanics? The early show, the late show. What's the best audience?
I think I'll say the best audience to me is a diverse crowd that comes with an open mind. Anybody that can sit down and suspend disbelief, can suspend whatever they hangups are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna come in. I'm just gonna see a show, and I'm open to anything. You know what I'm saying? Because like sometimes you like. At a comedy club, yeah, like the late, late show, typically, sometimes it's not a lot of people there. Sometimes people show up drunk. That's not fun. The early show, it's a lot of older people. They're just trying to get out, and they want to be in bed by 9. But a sweet spot definitely is like when you get like that 8, 9 o'clock crowd. They kind of like, this is starting their night off. They come in. This is like the launch pad for their night. They want to
have a good night. They're in a good mindset. They're in a good place.
Absolutely.
Carlos Mencia used to tell me that he used to love to play All Jokes Aside.
Oh, man.
He used to love to play. He would say that those were the greatest audiences. I'm sure you probably played.
No, All Jokes Aside closed. Like,
it's been gone for a while.
Yeah, maybe like early 2000, late 90s.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's
I'm
been
old.
Gone for some time. So, I wish I was around to see it. But the owner, one of the owners, Mary Lindsay, she opened up Jokes and Notes. So that was one of my home clubs also.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So other than the Zany's gig that you have coming up, what else do you have coming up that we can find you?
I'll be in New York. I'm doing a gig. It's not stand up, but I'm be doing like a working with Second City. I'm gonna be at Madison Square Garden. So that's gonna be fun.
Oh, nice. Oh, so that's right. So you went to Second City.
Yeah.
How difficult is that how long is it to complete that entire?
I can't tell you exactly. I think it all kind of depends on a person. So I went to Second City Star to stand up. So they have an A through E program, and then they have a conservatory.
Okay, so all right. So did you do Were you in a stand-up program at Second City, or were you doing stage?
I did the improv. I did the improv training. So I never performed on stages at Second City. Like, I didn't.
Okay.
So that was never, my goal was to get the training of, like, the improv writing sketch. I went through Second City for that purposes, but I never had a goal to, like, actually be, like, on that main stage where they do, like, their
Right. You didn't want to be, you know, Tina Fey or whatever.
I mean, I wouldn't mind doing SNL. SNL is a great show, but I didn't want to go through that. Like, stand-up is, like, what I wanted to do, but what the improv training added to my performance was the act-outs, me being able to be constantly thinking on stage, the spontaneity to improvise, and that made me a stronger stand-up. It made me a better performer overall.
Make you a little more confident in your own self.
Confident, and also, like, a lot of times with stand-up, if you, outside of jokes, sometimes stand-ups, that's all we have. You know, like you just go on stage, I got my jokes. If they don't work, they don't work. But with improv, they walk on stage with nothing every night.
Right. Yeah. And they make it work.
Right. So they're constantly building from what's behind them. So they're looking in the rearview mirror and they're saying, I know, okay, we said this, let's bring that forward. So they constantly, like, building blocks as they taking steps. So with improv, it made me be like, hey, I'm fine being on stage not knowing what's going to happen next. And I'm more flexible on stage.
Well, you can see Calvin Evans on stage at Zany's in Chicago on Wells Street all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Happy Thanksgiving, my brother.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for coming in on this Thanksgiving night.
Thank you for having me.
Ashley, Yasmin, producers, thank you so much for coming in on this Thanksgiving. Appreciate you. I'm going to finally go home and get some turkey now.
All right.
Ken Smith, thank you for joining me on this Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening. This is 720 WGN.